Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, Bob, we've talked about the good and the bad. I don't think we've talked about the ugliness of the Broderick Jones episode. And I'm going to say right off the top, I think they've jerked this kid around. And I think this is more on them than him. And what happened yesterday was just lunacy. And I can't believe I was the only person. There had to have been many, many more, perhaps including you and our friend Wonder Twin, who when they saw Jerry Dulac's report before the game that the Steelers were going to alternate Fatanu and Broderick Jones at right tackle, said to themselves, that sounds like a recipe for disaster, because I said it, and I'm sure, did you?
Well, yeah, I don't like the fact that they're still indecisive about where these guys should be playing. And while, you know, you credit Dan Moore for occupying that left spot, they drafted two guys to replace him. And now here they are, not on that side, but they're playing alternately or in a rotation at right tackle, which is not really the play.
It doesn't even make sense. It makes no sense to play them in a rotation. It made less sense to bring in Broderick Jones when they did. Okay, so you're thinking about doing that? Think about something else, like the fact you just had a long touchdown drive. Things are going well offensively for a franchise that hasn't had a lot of things go well offensively for many years. You're in Denver. What'd they go, 7.5 minutes on a touchdown drive?
Yes.
Okay. You're leading the game. Things are going nicely. Let's make a change. What? At our 1 yard line? We're pinned on our 1 yard line. And now, after the touchdown drive, with things going well, pinned on our one, we're going to put in Broderick Jones, who has struggled mightily in the preseason. He was okay last week, I guess, but has struggled, let's be honest. To me, right there, you're taking a chance on a guy getting beat for safety, anything. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was the wrong time to do it. I thought the same thing. We were sitting there, Chris and I, you watch these games and you're like, why is he now in there?
So Pat Meyer, I imagine, is the guy who suggested it, and Tomlin should have been the guy who vetoed it, saying, you know what, Pat, let's scrap the plan here. Things are going well. Instead, we see him get three penalties in a span of six plays. One of them wipes out, I believe, a first down. I can't remember. It was the one where he jumped early, the only guy on the offense. He didn't have the count right. Then he got a holding, and then he got another holding that wiped out a 51-yard play to Pickens, one of the best pass plays that a Steelers quarterback has had since Ben left town. Maybe the best pass play since Ben left town. And it gets wiped out because of a Broderick Jones hold. People say, no, he didn't hold on. Yes, he did. I know they missed a lot on TJ and Alex Highsmith. That doesn't negate the fact that Broderick Jones held on that play. And he gets pulled in the middle of the series. Bob, that was a disaster. And you know what? It almost cost them the game. If Denver comes back to win that game and the Steelers kept them in it, and that is a horrible football team, the Steelers kept them in it. If they come back and win, let's say in overtime, I would look back on that Broderick Jones episode as costing the Steelers a game, because if they go up there with a 99-yard touchdown drive and it looked like they were on their way with that throw to Pickens, I just think it's a different game and it might be a blowout game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he single-handedly cost him 25 yards and big plays and everything on that play. Now, again,
51 yards, right?
51 yards on the play to Pickens.
Yeah.
Down the side. Yeah. So, but I mean, he cost them 25 yards alone with three penalties. And I looked around and I asked some questions of people about, has an offensive lineman, when was the last time an offensive lineman committed three penalties in six plays?
It's amazing.
And the answer I got, I put it into that ESPN stats, and I got not much there. But I asked a few other people that I know who run those accounts, and the best they can do is 5 years ago, you know, for, to find someone who had done that. That's a lot of penalties to take in, you know, 1 6-snap sequence of the game. So, but yeah, it was the wrong time to do it. And honestly, I thought when Troy Faltano, he was playing okay. I didn't see any need to do that. But if you're obligated to do it because you want to keep people involved in the game and that's your only reason, that's not the right reason to do it. You have to, to me, offensive line is all chemistry, cohesion, and you can mess it up real quick by making a substitution that I don't think they needed to make.
Well, what do you think of my suggestion that the Steelers have completely screwed this up? That jerking Broderick Jones around, not letting him play his natural position, putting him in a game in that situation, if that doesn't kill somebody's confidence, I don't know what would. Maybe even playing him hurt. I don't know. Is he hurt? Was he hurt in that preseason game? Toggling him back and forth, all because Dan Moore is incapable of playing right tackle. That's how this whole merry-go-round started. I think they've mismanaged the guy, and they've basically told the world now that they think Fotanu's the better player, even though they took Jones higher in the draft and traded up to get him last year.
I here's two thoughts on that. Number one, I give Dan Moore a lot of credit because Dan Moore is in a position where he knew they were drafting people to take his job, and he's apparently done better than they have done in those situations. Although I did not see a lot of I wanted to see more Broderick Jones at left tackle in the preseason. That's where I thought they should have just said, you go. We know what Dan Moore is. You play. We're going to see what you do. And they didn't really do too much of that. They put him at right tackle, and he really struggled. Now, Chris Hoke believes that he was somewhat, you know, came into camp a little disinterested in that. And you can't do that. You can't be that person. You have to earn everything. I don't care where you're drafted. You can't use that. Has he earned it to go over there? I don't think he has. So that's on him. He needs to do that. Have they contributed to the fact that he hasn't grown? Yes, because they haven't played in a position where he is most natural. But Dan Moore has made that a problem because he can only play the one position and he can't move to right tackle. So now they're using Dan Moore as someone who's been there, done that, but he hasn't been the best at what he's done. He's been okay, not the best. You brought guys in to take that job eventually, and those guys are not at that position. So I think it's a multifaceted kind of thing. But I would give Dan Moore credit for just saying, okay, they want to do that, I'm going to play better, I'm going to beat them out. And so far, apparently, he has.
PFF gave Fotanu incredibly high grades.
One of the best grades
yesterday.
They've given any, right?
So it would appear he's the guy. You know, it's just very strange. And maybe it's because Jones didn't play a lot in college, I guess. Fotanu, we got word, you know, from the likes of Jerry Dulac very early that this is the guy. He's going to start right away. They didn't feel that way about Jones last year. Is it because of his inexperience?
But Jones played right tackle last year. That's why I was a little disappointed. Even if that's where they have
eventually
him,
he did, yeah.
And he played okay until the end of the year. Then it went down a little bit, especially in that Buffalo playoff game.
It's a concerning situation. And then there was Jones after the game. I don't know if everybody got a load of this quote. This might have been Richie Walsh by himself because I didn't see
it
in the newspaper accounts.
Yeah, it was him in the game afterwards. So Rich was there asking, and this quote is a very interesting quote, one that Chris and I kind of looked at each other as soon as we heard it.
So did what? I. Yes. Let's hear it.
Not really, you know, because I, you know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing. You know what I'm saying? So rotation, it's really not a big factor for me.
That's it. You know. That's the quote. There's really no need for people
true.
Will say, well, what about the context around it? No, it's a standalone quote where he was asked to follow up by Richie on some other question. And again, this is what he uttered. Let's just hear the key quote.
You know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing. You know what I'm saying? So
wow is what I say to that one. Bob, that sounds like Gary Templeton all those years ago. If I ain't starting, I ain't departing for the All-Star game.
For a young player, he can't have that attitude. I gave him credit yesterday for coming out and addressing the questions after he was yanked from that game. I thought that was a good sign of somebody who understood that, hey, it's on me.
And do you agree with him? Do you agree with that quote?
No, I don't agree with that quote. That's when he made that quote. It was like it ruined the moment for him.
I do agree with the quote. I do agree with what he said. I just don't think he should have said it. Because Tomlin might,
but you can't say if I'm not in it, I'm not. It's like you're not engaged. You have to be engaged. You have to be willing to play wherever that team wants you to play.
Well, if we disagree with the idea of rotating tackles, then I have to say, and I do, then I have to say he's right. If he's not starting, he shouldn't be playing. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not ready if the guy gets hurt. It just means he's not a fan of the rotation system.
And he doesn't have to be a fan, but he has to do what they tell him to do in that situation.
He's right about it. If I believe
but
that rotating tackles...
But he made it sound like I'm not interested then if that's how it's going to be. That's how it came off to me.
Maybe.
And you can't not be interested. It's your job to be ready.
I took it more as sort of a signal from him that, man, that was a stupid idea. And he's right. We just said it. We both agreed on it. It's stupid to be rotating your right tackles in a game. Especially when one guy gets off to a great start and they score a touchdown. He's right about that. However, if I'm advising him, I don't think it's a great idea to say that out loud because, again, Mike Tomlin just might take you up on that and not play you at all. I guess I'd rather be playing than not playing, Bob, even if it's in a rotation.
Listen, again, the way that came off, I'm not sure how he meant it to come off, but he expressed dissatisfaction with being in a rotation. Tough beans, man. You're in the NFL, you're a number one pick, and they have basically said you haven't earned the left tackle spot. Dan Moore's better than you right now. All right, so do it, you know. Again, I thought it was the wrong comment at the wrong time. After what happened to him yesterday,
it almost sounded like excuse making.
We agree there. So that's how I took it.
It's an unbelievable quote. What do you think Tomlin will make of it? Is this Chukwuma Okorafor part two?
No, because they have too much invested in him. That's not going to happen.
I don't mean getting rid of him, but it sounds like a similar type of
he'll have a conversation.
Defeatist.
The one thing I know about Mike Tomlin, he has a very good upfront communication with these guys. He'll bring them in and talk. He may do it in front of the group. You know, so who knows how he's going to handle it, but he will handle it because you can't, you know, if he sees that, I don't know if he saw it or heard it. If he did, I'm sure he'll be made aware of it. You just can't have that, you can't have that attitude.
Yeah, that's what I meant with the Chooks comparison is a defeatist sort of quote that maybe is a little bit cryptic, but when he says, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like I should be playing, that just jumps off the page. And Tomlin will get a hold of that one, Bob. Let's go to the phones. Wonder Twin?
We have Ken in South Park.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry.
Hey, I was just wondering, with the Tua thing going on in Miami, is with any trade talks for Russell Wilson to maybe get a wide receiver from Miami?
Appreciate the question. Bob, I've heard people mention this, but the Steelers' quarterback situation is hardly settled here. I don't know that they're in position to trade Russell Wilson.
No, just because of what you said. You can't afford to do that. Injuries happen all the time. And you don't want to be thin in that department. Kyle Allen is a guy who's been around. He can handle it for probably a short time. But if somebody gets injured, then you trade one of them away, and now you're down to him.
Yeah.
You leave yourself very much exposed. So, no, that's not happening.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline, of course, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Excuse me, Bob, I need to cough. Can you take over the show?
Yes. Welcome to the Joe Show as he clears his throat. He's had a lot to say today, so you can understand why it would go dry there for a while. He came out firing, and that fire eventually hurt the vocal cords.
Thank you, Bob. I'm back here. We want you back after this to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Very important work to do there and really easy to get scheduled, and you'll be in great hands with the heart experts at UPMC. So as we talk about that, the question comes up of, well, what about the pass offense itself and what about receiver? People asking, that guy just asked, can we trade Russell Wilson for a receiver? Jerry Dulac, just comes out with a story. Minutes ago, Bob, Steelers desperately need a second wide receiver to help buoy the offense, take the pressure off George Pickens. So again, I come back to the con artist who his greatest trick so far is making their receiver room disappear. Like a little, he sawed their receiving room in half. Like you see it, like you see other magicians do, the old con artist, right?
Yeah. That's a glaring weakness at this point, just because two games in we've seen that if it's not Pickens, it's not many other people. And whether or not that's, you know, again, I think Fields tends to look to him more so than anyone else for good reason, but you gotta get other guys involved. They got to scheme guys over. They got to do something to get other guys involved.
Well, but what if those guys aren't open? That would be my question. And Fields had a little nugget that was interesting that Dulac has a quote here. We knew coming into this game that this officiating crew threw the most defensive pass interferences last year. That was a big reason for taking those shots downfield. That's interesting to me. And it worked. They got the 30.
They got the one on Van Jefferson.
Well, but from their perspective, they got one on Patrick Surtain, right? Down the field for
right,
a big
two
game.
Of them. Yep.
So two of them. So you take shots down the field. I like that a lot. But Jerry's right. Obviously, they need another receiver.
Can I interrupt with some breaking news?
Yes, you can.
We've been waiting for months for this news that is finally broken. The Pittsburgh Penguins have re-signed Sidney Crosby to a two-year contract extension running through the 26-27 season. Average annual value. You guessed it.
$8.7 million a year.
$8.7 million a year.
See, this guy
is unbelievable.
That tells
Bob.
Me something, though.
Because for taking less all the time.
You know, he just takes his number. I don't think that was ever going to change. But but 2 years kind of makes me wonder now. You know,
yeah, that's the interesting part.
2 years, because most people thought it was going to be four, and I'm sure the team didn't want to play, you know, if he wanted to move on or whatever, 4 years into this, they don't want to be charged with whatever. That's very interesting to me. 2 years.
Because that leaves time for him. And both of it stands out. The 2 years and the annual salary. I was thinking, somebody asked me in the mailbag last week, I said, how does 3 or 4 years at $15 million a year sound to you? Because Sid can still write a blank check, and at some point in his career, I felt like would be perfectly justified in recouping all this money that he's lost over the years.
So he's signed for the next 3 years. It's added on to what this season was going to be.
But still, I'm sure he wants to play well, you know, 40 and beyond.
He just said the other day, as long as possible.
Right, and so that makes me think that, okay, if he sees, you know, a couple of years from now, things aren't going in the right direction, here he can just make himself available. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I expected one more year added on to that. Just my expectation.
That is really interesting. 8.7. Bob, he'd be justified at nearly twice that.
Did you see what Connor McDavid's big winger, Draisaitl, got? $14 million average annual VAT. 14. So they're breaking that barrier, going higher and higher. I give Sid a lot of credit. He's making a lot of money. He's made a lot of money. He has a lot of endorsement money coming in. He is who he is. He has his beliefs. He's superstitious. And I think he wants to make this all work. So
I'll tell you what else.
Good for him. It also allows them to spend more money on other people eventually, too.
That's the key in all of this. It's a clear sign, I think, that Sid is staying on the condition that they continue to try to win and build around him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. I think that's one of the big things. I think Dubas, we're going to find out. He brought in a lot of people, as he did last year. How many will help them? These are guys who've had some success, but, you know, not consistent enough. But I think Sidney Crosby needs younger people around him. That whole team needs younger people to take jobs away from people.
The unspoken message there is go spend your money
spend
on
your
people
money.
To help
yeah,
me.
Right.
And now you have to really, if you're Kyle Dubas, and they didn't do it with Gensel, they didn't re-sign Gensel, but at least they got an actual player who's a different kind of player who can help them in return and bunting, but still. That was the first biggest sign that Dubas is going to try at least a little bit, maybe, of rebuilding on the fly, or at least isn't 1,000% committed to everything now when you don't sign Gensel, right? But that was pretty much the only thing. But my point is, Bob, that you have to now feel committed to Sid. This is an incredible gesture that he's made now for over a decade. The only other athlete in team sports in this country that I can think of that has given up more money, like an A-list star.
Tom Brady?
Is Tom Brady. Right. And for a long time, he had a wife that was richer than him. I think that makes a difference, right?
But, you know, Crosby never has struck me as somebody who's going to just be in it for money. He's not in it for money. He has enough money. He knows that. He's one of these guys who just wants to continue
but
to play
gesture,
at a high level,
I know,
and
who,
win.
But who else has given back that kind of money?
No, Tom Brady was my answer, as it
That's
is your
it.
Answer.
That's it.
You know,
Ben was desperate at the end. Ben, and I don't blame him or anybody, Ben always went for the money until he was faced with a decision of probably either I don't play or I take a pay cut. So I'm going to hold off on the credit for him at the end of his career. He always took the money, and good for him. Everybody does. But Brady and Sid, I'm trying to think of other examples. There are guys who give a
little
bit back.
Yeah, there are guys
back,
who took a
not
little
like
discount.
This.
But not, no, no. He has every right to expect $14 million a year. You know,
he's given, from what he could have reasonably asked for and made, which is pretty much anything, but let's say $12 million a year. So let's just say $3 million for, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years, that's 24. And I think he's given up another 10, 12, 15. He's given this franchise upwards of $40 million to go spend to try to win. It's really incredible when you think about it.
It really is. It's incumbent upon them to do that now. They continue to try to walk this line about future and present. At some point, present has to be present. And you got to win now with him. He's committed this. Go out and help him win in the next 2 years. Do you think that's still a legitimate possibility given the
yes,
age of this
I do.
Team?
Let's talk about that coming up, Bob. Let's talk about that since this is breaking news. I was never really concerned about this. People were. I had heard at one point.
I never was either. It was just a matter of what was making it delayed. And the fact that it's a 2-year extension tells me something.
I don't think that had anything to do with the delay. I think the delay was about they wanted to kick off camp or right before camp with an announcement and get people back in a hockey mood. I don't think there was ever much contention over this because Sid, obviously, based on the fact that he's getting 8.7, wasn't asking for it. It certainly wasn't about money.
Right, which is why I thought he'd do it on August 7th. He's so superstitious.
He is
for
superstitious,
that
but I think the Penguins really wanted this to jumpstart from a PR perspective. Training camp, let's go. Sid signed. Let's get back to hockey. I think I never got a sign from him from his public comments that there was any issue at all.
No, and we talked about this. On people get worried as they don't even play a game for over a month.
Right.
I mean, there was plenty of time to do it, but people always thought, for various reasons, that this, maybe there's something going on. You know, there could be things that we don't know about that delayed it. I don't know, but I don't think there was any doubt he was going to stay here and try to complete this one more time. So,
yeah, well, three more times.
No, I'm talking about Stanley Cup. I think if you get one in the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, he's given himself and he's given them a better shot over the next 3 years by the nature of this deal.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Now we're toggling between the Steelers and the Sidney Crosby contract extension, 2-year extension, which means 3 more years this year, the last year of his deal. Then the 2-year extension at $8.7 million a year. Bob, I think he's the most unselfish athlete in the history of Pittsburgh sports,
and maybe all of sports, given what he is, given what he's done, unselfish is a great word. Here's another word: he is very, very accountable and responsible for his image, his place, not only in franchise face, but NHL face. He's an ambassador. He understands it. Never complains about it. He doesn't do anything that would diminish that legacy of his.
He just wants to win.
To get somebody. Yeah, and he wants to do it here. The statement is, I'm going to do what I can to continue to be here at a price that is under value so that we have a chance to do something before it's all said and done.
Yes.
I think that's the only
message. Undervalue is the understatement of the century. Look at the cap hits in the NHL right now. It begins with Austin Matthews at $13.25 million.
It's deserved. I mean,
then it goes down.
He is.
Then it, you're right. You know, I never blame people for going for the money. I thought, though, that Sid might come back around at the end of his career and justifiably say, all right, I'm going to, you know, make some back or something, at least get into double figures. But he's at 8.7. Bob, do you know where that ranks right now in the NHL?
Oh, geez, I'd have to guess.
Guess.
20th.
Tied for 42nd.
Wow.
This is a guy that NHL players themselves still vote as the number one all-around player in the world, is 42nd. He's barely above Sam Reinhart. Barely above Rupe Hintz, if that's his name.
Rupe.
Below, I just pulled a Ron Cook. I'm a big fan of Rupe Hintz. Rupe Hintz, I think, is one of the finest players. Patrick Laine is also very good. Leon Draisaitl.
Draisaitl.
Patrick.
Auston Matthews. There's an O in his name.
Alex Pietrangelo. Matthew Berzel. All these guys, Bob, are below Sidney. Adam Folks. Sebastian Aho. All these guys, Jack Eichel, all these guys are far above Sid. Rasmus Dahlin, John Tavares, they're all above.
Dahlin.
Artemi Panera Bread, all these guys are way above Sid on this list. But it's true.
Give me the top 10 on that list. I'm curious.
Sorry to Rupe and his family. Bob, he's right below Alex Pietrangelo. Timo Meier, if that's the way you say that. Dylan Larkin. This is the company he's keeping right now. He's tied for 42nd, and he's not going anywhere. By the end of this deal, Sidney Crosby won't be anywhere near the top 50 highest paid players in the NHL. There's nobody else who's doing that in sports right now. Nobody.
No.
Not to that degree. There are guys who take a little less, some quarterbacks to build teams. Brady, like you said, is the only one I can think of from sports history who took a ridiculous discount. And again, it helps in his case when you know your wife is making more than you and is a multi-millionaire.
Tom Brady knew that he needed help and had to facilitate something to get it so he could keep winning.
No doubt.
And Crosby's driven by the same stuff.
Right.
He's driven by legacy.
And if you're an A-lister like Brady, you also know you can make a ton off the field.
Sure. And that's what Sidney Crosby does.
So the top 10 is Austin Matthews at 13.2, MacKinnon at 12.6, Connor McDavid at 12.5, Panarin at 11.6. Elias Pettersson at 11.6. Erik Karlsson at 11.5 is tied for the sixth highest paid player in the NHL, which is why you asked before, Bob, is this a winning recipe this year for the Penguins? And my answer is, if you have guys who play to their pedigree, yes, and I would start with him. Start with Tristan Jarry, the $28 million goalie who's made the All-Star game twice. Have a good full season. Play to your talent level. That's what we need from him, right?
No question.
They need
several
guys to do that.
Right. Defensively, you know, they need Erik Karlsson that we saw a few years ago and not the one last year. And I'm talking about power play mostly. There are things that could change quickly. I think year two will be better for Karlsson and Graves.
Well,
People are down on Graves, but I think he's still more talented what he showed, and I think a second year here will help him.
Well, he's another guy. I just don't think, and sometimes you are a function of how good your team is. You don't go plus 30 unless you're a decent player. So they need to, David Quinn needs to, he's going to be a big key this year in trying to get some of these people in the proper roles where you extract the best of their talents. And maybe Ryan Graves is a number three defense, third pair defenseman, I should say. Maybe he is. Okay, so give us 13 really good minutes then. You know what I mean, Bob? I'm sorry, a team that starts their defense with Letang, Pettersson, and Carlson, a lot of teams would like to have that talent. A lot of teams would like to have a top line of however you want to configure it here, whatever it might be, Rust, Crosby. I don't know, is Drew O'Connor going to be on that line? Whoever you want to pick.
Drew, yeah, I mean.
And Kyle Dubas has given them more options on their bottom six. You have a goalie who's highly compensated at the moment. Play to your pedigree. And yes, it's a playoff team that should do damage. Raquel's another guy. I think he played hurt last year. Play to your pedigree. That's what I would say. I don't hate the roster. Do you?
No, I think the roster's okay as long as the guys play the way they're capable of playing. Absolutely. And that starts first and foremost, I think, with Tristan Jarry in goal. He has to be...
With Jarry and Carlson. I'm sorry. Right, you're the sixth highest paid player in the whole league.
Yep.
You better be great. Consistently great. Limits, what's your take on this? I'm very curious.
Well, I like the deal. I wish Crosby, honestly, just for his own sake, would have taken more money, but the superstition aside, I just feel like this team is just such in purgatory in the middle with really no direction. Do they really want to turn to young players while they still have aging veterans? That is what you need to do. But at the same time, everything that Kyle Dubas has done in the offseason has been reducing salary, well, taking on some salary in order to recoup some draft picks. So they're really in this mushy middle where, yes, I think they need to make the playoffs, but do I think
that's
they will?
That's where I disagree
no.
with you, Limitless Wonder. I don't think they're in the mushy middle. I think we're giving, in that instance, Bob, Kyle Dubas, and the Penguins, and Mike Sullivan the benefit of low expectations, and they don't deserve that. They've made one move that would indicate that they're not 1,000% in, and that's the Guentzel move. But you could also argue that at least that was a hockey trade where they got a top six winger and a power play guy back. A different kind of player and the kind of player that they could use. Obviously, you
and two other young guys who we don't know much about, but they could be.
Yeah, but it was I thought, a legit hockey trade. Not that, obviously, you take Guentzel over Bunting. Don't get me wrong there. But they're not living in the mushy middle. They're living, Limits, in a world where they're trying to win and they're paying a lot of people a lot of money to try to win now, including the sixth highest paid player in the league in Carlson, including a $28 million goalie, including Malkin, including Letang, including Sid, even at the unbelievable number he has, including Ryan Graves, including Brian Rust, including Raquel. Come on, they've got a limit up and down that is paid to win now. Big money guys, they're spending to the cap, or they certainly will be. They're built to win now. I'm not giving him or them, I'm talking about Dubas, or them the benefit of, the Penguins, let's see if they can still win even though Dubas is rebuilding. He ain't rebuilding. He's paying people a lot of money to win now. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's the way he should go. I think that's what they have to do. Sure, he's concerned about future draft assets and trying to get all, that's fine. Except when you have guys like this on your team, your obligation first and foremost is to win now. And I think the moves he's made, you can say that he has done his best given what he's had to deal with to bring guys in. Now, it's up to them to perform.
What has he had to deal with?
Well, a lot of salary and a lot of older players. It's tough to play with a lot of older players and win with a lot of older players. Teams
but,
that have
but
tried
he's
it
choosing
haven't done
to
it.
Pay those guys too.
I understand that. With the idea that they're going to win, which is why the present should be the focus. I keep talking about, people say he's trying to preserve stuff for the future. To me, the future has always been with this core group winning now.
He's made a couple deals and recouped some draft picks, very minor.
Yeah, but
deals. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. He seems to get this credit for, he's really trying to rebuild. I mean, he's accumulated a couple of picks. Kyle Dubas last offseason went wild, because the other thing I hear about is, poor handcuffed Kyle Dubas. What's he supposed to do? He seems to be a real media favorite in this town. Like, look at all the constraints he's working under. Man, a lot of NHL GMs would like to work under the constraints that would allow them to, and this is what Dubas did last offseason, pay a goalie $28 million, bring in Erik Karlsson. No, the finances of that deal at the moment were good for the Penguins. You're going to be paying him 11 and a half, I think, or 10 and a half, something like that, for many years to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paying Ryan Graves all that money, bringing in bottom six guys left and right. A lot of guys would like to be handcuffed to the tune of all that, which was basically go out and make the biggest deal in the offseason for Karlsson and then throw money around wherever you want after that. Yeah, go spend $30 million on a goalie who doesn't have any playoff pedigree. So I don't want to hear from people out there that he's been handcuffed here. It was the opposite. He was told in his first offseason, go out on the town, buddy, and have a great time. And that's what he did, and that's why this offseason they've done basically nothing, because he made all his big multi-year moves last offseason. Bob.
Well, they brought in people this offseason, though. They've gone out and,
sure,
and gotten some guys who they think can help them. And
yeah,
I think given
role
the
players.
And when I say constraints, that's what I'm talking about. He loaded up last year on the money. He can't duplicate that this year because he brought in Karlsson, he brought in Graves. That's big money to those two guys, not to mention other guys. But the point is, you do that to win now. He didn't acquire Erik Karlsson for a future asset. You know, I mean, he
exactly
did it so that he, and what happened last year didn't work the way they wanted, and it has to change. And I do think year two here won't be a difference. I think you're going to see that power play get back to where it was, operating at a 25% kind of clip or 22-3%, not what we saw last year. And I think they're going to have, that's going to be the number one issue.
Well, that overtime.
Right. Well,
those are two issues that basically cost them their season. And if they ever became bad at either one, they'd make the playoffs. All they needed to be was bad instead of historically hideous. If they become good or great, then we're going to start talking about rising to the top of the East.
Yeah.
That's how important those two issues are.
But with a veteran-laden team, if they get to the playoffs, that's the goal. If you do, best of sevens, you can change things around quite a bit.
All right. Coming up, let's take a sharp turn toward the backyard brawl, because that was a momentous game. And Pat Narduzzi piped up afterward. Was he legit in what he said? And have the parameters, the expectations, I should say, of this Pitt season changed, as was written in the Post-Gazette? Should we look at Pitt way differently now than we have?